Richard Martin's Wake Up Call Podcast, presented every Monday and Friday, providing you with the truth and the facts. You decide.
Hello there, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Richard Martin with your Wake Up Call on Friday, the 22nd of April, 2016. And I am coming to you all the way from Malaysia. Well, last week I gave you a brief overview, at least the donors on their emails. I gave you a brief overview of the current economic condition of the United States. Today I'm going to give you a financial overview. It is really very grim, and I cannot think that this situation can remain ignored for much longer. The main thing to take away from all this is that the outlook is irreversible. The irresponsibility of the politicians can only be ascribed to the fact that the wrong people have been put in charge. It's as if hundreds of people had job interviews, otherwise known as electoral campaigns, and the wrong candidates were selected for the job. How would you feel if you were sitting in an airplane 35,000 feet above the ground and suddenly you were told that the pilot had not received instruction in how to fly a plane? Honestly, the analogy is no less apt. Just as in this case, you are unlikely to die as a result of the consequences of having an incompetent president or Federal Reserve chair, as she likes to call herself, but the consequences affect the entire country as opposed to a plane load of people. And these people who run your government are truly incompetent. This is no overstatement or exaggeration. They have no idea what they're doing. In some countries, like France, for example, politicians have to go to politics school to get trained like other professionals before they are allowed to be let loose on the public purse. But in the United States, it seems they can come from anywhere. Delinquencies in household debt moved higher even as financial institutions continued to offer aggressive terms to consumers, implying falling credit standards. Furthermore, the New York Fed said subprime auto loans reached the greatest percentage of total auto loans in 10 years. Moreover, they indicated that the delinquency rate rose significantly. I won't say any more about this here because I very recently discussed this a couple of times on the Wake Up Call. Business debt last year, excluding off-balance sheet liabilities, rose $793 billion, while total gross private domestic investment, which includes fixed and inventory investment, rose only $93 billion. Thus, by inference, this debt increase went into share buybacks, dividend increases, and other financial endeavours, which is what I've been saying all along, but now we have proof. When business debt is allocated to financial operations, it does not generate an income stream to meet interest and repayment requirements. Using debt in this way does not support economic growth, employment, higher paying jobs, or productivity growth. So the economy is obviously going to be weakened by the increase of business debt we've seen over the past 5 years. In the case of federal debt, US government gross debt, excluding off-balance sheet items, gained $780.7 billion in 2015, or about $230 billion more than the rise in GDP. The divergence between the budget deficit and debt in 2015 is a portent of things to come. This subject is directly addressed in the 2012 book The Clash of Generations by Lawrence Kotlikoff and Scott Burns. They calculate that on the net present value basis, the US government faces liabilities for Social Security and other entitlement programs that exceed the funds in the various trust funds by $60 trillion. This sum is more than three times greater than the current level of GDP. State and local governments face adverse demographics that will drain underfunded pension plans. The state and local governments do not have the borrowing capacity of the federal government. Hence, pension obligations will need to be covered at least partially by increased taxes, cuts in pension benefits, or reductions in other expenditures. So, wrapping it all up, total debt increase by $1.968 trillion last year. This is $1.4 trillion more than the gain in nominal GDP. The ratio of total debt to GDP closed the year at 370%, well above the 250-300% level at which academic studies suggest debt begins to slow economic activity. And you know, this problem is by no means limited to the United States. Not only the Federal Reserve, but also the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, and the People's Bank of China, all of them have been unable to gain traction with their monetary policies. Excluding off-balance sheet liabilities, at year-end, the ratio of total public and private debt relative to GDP stood at 350% for China, 370% for the United States, 457% for the euro currency zone, and 615% for Japan. The debt ratios of all four countries exceed by far the level of debt that harms economic growth. As an indication of this over-indebtedness, composite nominal GDP growth for these four countries remains subdued. The slowdown occurred in spite of the numerous, ridiculous, and totally unprecedented monetary policy actions. You know, our old friends, quantitative easing, negative or near zero overnight rates, forward guidance, and other untested techniques. We are never, repeat, never going to be able to claw our way out of this huge hole we have dug for ourselves in the major economies of the world. There are no words to describe how serious and terminal this all is in the United States. That, again, is one of the many reasons why it's so essential to get out of America as quickly as possible. All right, everybody, I'm assuming by now most of you are non-donors. It would be absolutely thrilling to have you glance over to the left-hand side and depress the donate button and add your cent's worth into the mix. But in the event that that is not to be, well, ladies and gentlemen, I will be back on Monday with more of the same. So this is Richard Martin saying bye-bye till then.
And there you have it. You decide.